Thank you so much, guys. I wonder if you, what it would have been like to be there on that first morning. We are going to think a little bit more of that later on, but we're going to start off with our stones now. So now is the moment for you to find your stone. And we're going to use our stones as we do our prayers this morning. Praying is just talking to God. But I thought it would be interesting this morning if we used a stone. So we're going to have a thank you prayer, a sorry prayer, and a please. So we're going to start with thinking thank you. Now, can you roll your stone across your hand? This is where you think, oh, I've got a really lumpy stone, not a nice smooth one. Depending on the shape of your stone, so it's going to be easier or not to roll that stone. Now, when Jesus died, soldiers rolled an enormous stone in front of Jesus' tomb, blocking Jesus' body in. But on Easter Sunday, that stone was rolled away. Roll it across your hands a few times and think about that stone in front of the tomb being rolled away. So we're going to start by thanking God for what the women saw when that stone was rolled away. Lord, thank you so much that on that first Easter day when the stone was rolled away, that we discovered that the Lord Jesus had come back from the dead. Thank you for the new resurrection life we can share. Amen. Now we're going to think about sorry. Again, look at the stone that you've got in your hand. Now imagine how uncomfortable it would be if that was stuck in your shoe all day. That would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it? I don't think we'd be wanting to go very far. Well, the things that we do wrong, what the Bible calls sin, also make us feel uncomfortable. And everyone else around us suffers too. These were the things that Jesus died to sort out. So let's say sorry to God for those wrong things that we do that makes our world an uncomfortable place. Lord, we're sorry that we don't always listen to you and we often do things wrong. When we look at Good Friday, we know how much these things matter and how far you went out to sort them out and bring us back to you. Please forgive us and help us. Amen. Finally, let's think about a please prayer. Give your rock a little tap. See how hard and firm and strong it is. Things built with stone stand the test of time. Just look at Corfe Castle, even if it is a bit skew. Because of the new life that Jesus brought for us, Jesus, friends, become living stones, built together to become part of God's church. Let's ask God as our please prayer this morning to use us to build something good with our lives. So let's pray. Lord, please help us to please help us to build good, lasting things with our lives, things that make a difference to you and for our world. Help us to share the love that you have for us with those around us. Amen. So, Lord, we say thank you, sorry, and please, remembering that on that first Easter day, you moved the stone because Jesus is alive, and that same resurrection power is at work in your people today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to come back to stones a little bit later, so keep it somewhere safe. You may need it later on. But now I'm handing back to John, who, is it Easter egg hunt time almost?
Almost.
Grown-ups, I am really sorry, but you have to stay. Disappointing, I realise, but there you go.
So, are we ready for an Easter egg hunt?
Yeah!
Excellent! At least one person is. Now, in a moment, when we exchange the piece, which I'll say more of in a moment, the youngsters are going to go out into the hall where they'll be told what they need to do in order to find eggs. Can I just say, please, if your child is under seven, if you could go with them, because our site has no fences, and we do have a road that goes round three sides of it. So if your child is under seven and you could go with them, that would be fab. You might need a coat as well. It's a bit windy out there still. So, more of that. The children will be going out in a moment when we exchange the peace. Just a word about the peace without being over long. The peace traditionally was a point in the service before you received communion where you would acknowledge wrongs that you had done to others and they to you. A way of bringing wholeness to the family of God. What we're going to do this morning is to exchange the peace of God with each other. God's wholeness. And if you want a better example of that, it's Easter Day. So in a moment, we are going to exchange the peace with each other. The traditional way is a handshake, or if you know them and they're happy with that, you can give a hug. But it's entirely up to you. But the whole idea is that it's more controlled, otherwise the service would never start. So, if you have free stand. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
And also with you.
Let's exchange the peace. Sorry, we missed the video. So, if children would like to move to the hall, please. God bless your venture as you explore the grounds and learn more about Easter. And when you are ready, if you'd like to take a seat, please. And now for adults, we get to the exciting bit. Joe's going to talk to us.
Church wardens are so cheeky. Right. We might need to close a lot of doors, I think. Do you want to check both doors are shut? Fabulous. Okay. Do come on in, guys. Come and take a seat. They'll come down the sides here, especially now all the small people have gone. Come on in, find yourself somewhere to sit. So let's think for a moment. Let's pause, let's breathe. Shall I pray? And then let's have a look and see what God wants to say to us this morning. Lord, thank you that we can be here together this morning to celebrate your resurrection. Pray now as we reflect on that and the impact of that in our lives. We pray that we would hear your voice, we would receive your words of life and be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wonder what things rock or shake you. What things shake the stability of your world? Anything or everything? Maybe you consider yourself quite steady. You know, not much gets to you. Or maybe you're someone who more wrestles with constant anxiety. But I think whoever we are, if we're honest, whatever our default setting might be, sometimes things do get to us. Something will cause kind of to shake our inner equilibrium. Something can happen and our personal world will be rocked. All of a sudden, we're not quite sure where we are going to find that elusive security, that inner peace. That hope. Everything has been shaken. Doesn't want to play. Can you put the next slide on, please, Bob? This doesn't seem to be liking me today. Thank you. Maybe for you, it's a constant awareness of devastating world events, as we have in the Middle East at the moment. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's the inexplicable breakdown of a relationship in your family. Maybe it's a medical situation. Maybe it's financial issues, or all of those things jumbled in together. There are so many things, aren't there, that undermine our stability, cause us to ask questions, send us searching for something deeper, something stronger, something firmer to put our trust in, to base our lives on. As I said, we're about to have a little look and reflect on those events of the first Easter morning. But let's go back to that stone or the little rock that I gave you or you were given when you came in. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I hadn't. But rock is a very funny word in English. As a noun, at its base level, it is the very stuff of which our earth is made. This morning, we literally stand on a massive planet-sized bit of rock. And it feels generally fairly stable, in this part of the world anyway. And we use that noun, rock, to talk about little pieces of the big rock that we're standing on, like the stone you've got. And we talk about that word rock to mention dependable things, things that we can rely on, things that are firm and safe. We might call a person a rock if they've been a support or strength, someone we can rely on when we've been in a difficult situation. A rock. If you're thinking about getting engaged and start talking about rocks, well, that's a whole extra dimension. You're probably thinking precious stones, probably a diamond. Similarly, very strong, very dependable, and also very valuable. Used in the context of a relationship that we hope will be all three things. So as a noun, rock is a very solid base, isn't it? Solid, steady, reliable, dependable, and maybe immensely valuable. But if we think about rock as a verb, well, we have the complete opposite. In its gentle meaning, we might think about rocking a baby to and fro, movement, gently swaying from side to side. But in its more extreme forms, we think about the very ground beneath our feet rocking in, say, an earthquake. Or we talk about our emotional state as being rocked, shaken, a state of extreme disturbance. So you might be rocked either in a good way or a bad way, but either way, nothing stays the same. Everything is moving. To rock someone means to bring a great upheaval. So bear these different meanings of that word rock in mind as we look together at the Bible this morning and reflect on how God might be speaking into our lives. There's quite a lot of implicit and explicit rocks in our passage as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus. So let's go back to that account of the resurrection that we heard from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 28, verse 1, tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Now, if you're curious who the other Mary is, you have to look to a previous chapter in Matthew where we discover that that other Mary is the mother of James and Joseph. Mark and Luke, in their Gospel accounts, also tell us that Salome and Joanna were part of this group of women as well. Now, as these women went to the tomb on that day, I think it's fair to say that their world had been completely rocked over the past 48 hours. They'd seen their beloved Lord and Master Jesus, whom they'd followed, arrested, subjected to a mockery of a trial, sentenced to death, whipped, made to carry his cross with his bloodied back, all the way to Golgotha outside the city, and finally crucified, strung up between two common criminals, enduring one of the most brutal forms of execution ever designed by humankind. This had not been part of these women's 5-year plan. This was so far from being what they'd been expecting that it had completely shaken everything they knew. They'd thought Jesus was going to be the one who was going to make all things right, who was going to restore Israel, the people of God, to their glory days. They'd had so much hope pinned on him, so many dreams. He'd been the rock on whom they'd based their whole version of the future. But on Friday evening, everything changed everything had been shattered. Jesus had gone. His dead body had been put in a buried, borrowed tomb, cut out of that rock that we read about in Matthew 27. And another rock, a huge stone, was rolled in front of the tomb entrance, keeping the dead safely shut away from the living. We heard what happened as the women on their way. As they go, another rock, the very ground beneath their feet starts to rock. There is a violent earthquake, Matthew tells us. And when they arrive, they find that the huge stone, the giant rock, has been rolled away. And the dead man that they were expecting to find inside, well, he's no longer there. The tomb could not hold him. An angel tells them that he's alive. And whilst they're in complete confusion, afraid yet filled with joy, is how Matthew put it, well, while they're on the way to tell the rest of the disciples, they actually meet the risen Christ. It seems that death itself could not hold him either. Yet again, but in completely the opposite direction, their world is once again rocked, turned upside down, this time irrevocably. Jesus had conquered death itself. Nothing was ever going to be the same. Now, in some ways, of course, everything would be just the same. Nation would still rise up against nation in violent conflict. People they loved would still die. Families would still be broken. People would still get sick. Money would still be scarce. And yet, nothing would ever be the same, because now their lives were built on the true rock, the risen Christ. They knew that this changed everything forever. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews here at All Saints over the last few months, and Hebrews 13 verse 8 puts it like this. Oh, can you do it again? Doesn't like me anymore. Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And if he is for us, well, then the book of Romans tells us, if he is for us, who can be against us? Because the death-defying love of God is a very safe place to make your rock, to build your life upon. Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we discover this in and through the risen Christ. I love how the Message translation puts it here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. Nothing can separate us from God's love. For death could not hold Jesus, and so he can safely hold you. He can be your rock, your point of stability in our frankly fairly unstable, rocky world. The question is, will we let him? Now, each of you have got hopefully a stone, a little rock. And when we come up to communion, I'm going to ask you to return those rocks. We're going to bring that basket up and put it here at the foot of the cross. And if you'd like to just put it back, that'd be great. Now, it may be to you this morning that this stone is just a stone and you just want to pop it back so I can take it back to the beach later. That's fine. You might want to just put it back. But you might notice, as I said, that the basket is at the foot of the cross. There's also another basket at the back by another picture of the cross. And it may be that you want to use putting the back of the stone as a prayer for yourself. That actually this is slightly more meaningful than just popping it back. It may be that God is nudging you this morning to make your own response to him. So a question, do we need to experience God this morning as a noun or a verb? What kind of rock do you need to experience this morning? Maybe some of us need our world rocked a little, or perhaps if we're honest, a lot. so many things have been getting in the way of us seeing Jesus clearly. Perhaps we've never really seen the risen Christ sit clearly for ourselves. But Jesus is alive. His love is death-defying. And he wants to meet you today and every day. And he doesn't want anything to get in the way of that loving, deep relationship that we were each designed for. So perhaps this morning, as you lay down your stone, you might want to make it a prayer, asking that God would come and rock your world. Ask him to clear away all the stuff that seems to be getting in the way of you meeting with him, either for the first time or in an ongoing way in your everyday life. Or perhaps as we meet here this morning, if you're honest, you're wondering if little bits of your life have perhaps built on the wrong rock, the wrong noun. Maybe your foot has slipped off the true rock. Maybe your gaze is a bit off. This morning, perhaps you need to lay down your stone as a symbol that you want to get your feet and your life firmly resting on the definitive noun, the rock, the risen Christ. Or maybe your prayer is just a lot simpler. Maybe you just want to lay your stone down, thanking God that on Easter Sunday, he was both verb and noun rock, rocking the world by defeating death and being revealed as the ultimate rock of safety, in whom we can depend forever, knowing that the love of the risen Lord is unshakable. And a final bit of rock, couldn't really resist. Ian had this a couple of weeks ago when he came, so I thought I'd steal it again. The bizarrely English rock. Maybe your prayer as you put your rock down needs to be that the word running through your life, through you, is the name of the Lord Jesus. Maybe that is your rock prayer this morning. Amen. Let it be so. If I can invite the band to come up, they're going to lead us in a couple of songs, but I'm just going to pray and draw this reflection to a close as they come up. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Thank you, risen Lord, that you alone are our rock and our salvation. Help us to rest in you alone. Amen.